This is the Day Zero Update for February 3rd, 2019. I'm Felipe Pinofa.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
And I'm Perk.
And Chris Soloji will be joining us in a little bit when he gets back from work. So, it's been an interesting and very eventful week this week, which...
Hot damn.
Yeah, is good, because, it's right at the beginning of the year. Usually things are pretty quiet, but we've got some very interesting events to talk about, to say the least. Being that it is the beginning of the month, we got new games for PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold. And we'll probably go over these right now because they're actually a pretty good month for both platforms, really. For Honor is going to be the first big title on the PS4.
Give it a shot. It's not a bad game.
Yeah. Not too bad. Joining that is the complete first season of Hitman, which I've been wanting to play, but now that I have it on PlayStation Plus, I probably will. We know that Chris has played the hell out of this game, and it's just ridiculous and stupid, and I'm totally okay with this, because it's like one of those over-the-top violent things that sometimes you're just in the mood for.
Yeah.
So those are the big PS4 titles, actually I think those are the only PS4 titles, which is interesting, to say the least. Usually there's more than that, but not this month. I do have some PS3 titles, though. There's only a couple of months left until the PS3 support, ends completely.
So. Well, this is the last one, I think.
Yeah, so there's that. Cross-buy with PS Vita, you're getting Dive Kick. That's a thing that exists.
Yep. Yeah, Dive Kick, I think that's pretty much a one-button fighting game.
Two. So you're also getting MGS4, Guns of the Patriots on the PS3.
Definitely worth playing.
Yeah, if you've never played it before. I know MGS5 is a lot better, but MGS4
just be prepared for some long cutscenes.
Very long cutscenes. Like
because Kojima.
Yeah. So.
Well, even by Kojima standards.
Yeah, these were long.
So it's peak Kojima.
Yeah. Then you got Gunhouse, PS Vita, and crossplay with PS4. This one I don't know very much about, so I can't really comment too much. Rogue Aces, which is a pretty good game on the PS Vita, so, and that's also PS4. Okay, so there's some PS4 stuff here. Okay.
And filling in the blanks with cross-buy.
Yeah, looks that way. They won't be able to rely on that for until next month, so. Yeah, so I'm really glad I got my PS Plus membership renewed, so I can actually get in on this. Also, 100 gigabytes of cloud storage upgrade.
What am I going to do with that?
That's what's really interesting, because there's no way in hell you're ever going to use 100 gigabytes for game saves. But what else could you use it for? I don't know. Maybe user-generated content?
Perhaps.
The bottom line is that storage is cheap, so it doesn't really cost Sony a hell of a lot to upgrade that limit from 10 gigabytes, which was, for game saves, that was still pretty good, up to 100, so it's like, meh, whatever. And then we'll move on to Xbox Games with Gold, and some very good ones on here, too. If you've not played Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, now's your chance. You're going to be getting that one free.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bomberman R is also joining it.
Nice.
That's available now. And then you have a couple of 360 titles. Assassin's Creed Rogue, I don't think this particular one has been featured yet, so that's not a repeat.
Rogue is actually interesting because it's the one Assassin's Creed game that kind of veers off of the standard Assassin's Creed storyline because you're playing a defector to the Templars. So.
So that's kind of interesting in itself. So that's going to be available. Well, it's available now. And then, of course, on the 15th, you're going to get Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, which is excellent. So yeah, a
Go old school.
very good. Yeah, the Microsoft selections for these backwards compatible games have actually been pretty good, and sometimes they've actually been better than the mainline Xbox One games that they've been featuring. So,
Which kind of tells you why backward compatibility is so important.
yeah, it really does.
Awesome.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just had to take a drink of water. Okay. Yeah, let's get into the stuff that we've been doing this week, because yeah, that's what we do right about this time of the show. So for me, it's been mostly my usual Doom stuff and Raspberry Pi stuff. As far as my RetroPie goes, it's mostly where I want it to be. My big challenge was getting all the metadata for the games that I want, including, screenshots, box arts, videos, and all that stuff to make a nice, pretty front end. Yeah, I tried several different tools to make that work. Finally found one that I like. It's got a lot of options on how it displays it and how it gets all those images and stuff together, so I'm still tinkering with that. But beyond that, it's been pretty good, and I'm past the point now where I'm tinkering and I'm actually like playing stuff on it now. So that's a good thing. Because you could very literally just spend weeks doing this and never actually play anything, so that's kind of a problem. But beyond that, I've been doing my Doom stuff, still learning all the ropes of what GZ Doom has to offer. Diving into basically map parameters and how to set global variables and all that good stuff to make sure that the experience that one player has is going to be the same as another player. Yeah, because yeah, th there are ways to override things in the GZ Doom engine that players can set whether they wanted to have fall damage and stuff, and that kind of defeats the purpose if you have very long falls and then nothing happens. Yeah, it's very anticlimactic. So yeah, so I've been working on that, getting all the map parameters in and figuring out what they do, and yeah, it's a lot of fun, and if you haven't had a chance to try that out, you really should. It's a fun engine, and it works with the Doom shareware, so yeah, if you don't have a copy of Doom, well, shame on you for, to start with, but
Yeah, at
so
this
yeah.
point.
Yeah, so that's been it for me. What about you, Pat?
The Final Fantasy 14 binge continues. I've just been playing Stormblood all week. I just about have Samurai to level 70, and I'm not sure where I'm going to go from there. It might be Monk, it might be Dark Knight. I should probably get a tank class leveled. I don't know. I just cannot put this game down. And the fan fest that happened, well, it's still going on right now over in Europe, just has been a massive info dump that has made me all the more enthusiastic. So I don't know how long this binge is going to last, but I'm just rolling with it.
Oh, it's fun when you find an MMO that you really enjoy, and it's something you can spend time on and not feel bad about it,
Yep.
because
And there's just so much going on with this game that if you get bored doing one thing, there's always something else you can go to.
And then, of course, there's the writing, which
Oh,
it's
yeah.
clear where Square Enix's good writers are.
Yes.
They're not on the Kingdom Hearts team. Yeah, and they definitely weren't on the Final Fantasy 15 team, because
They're working with Yoshida. And they need to stay there for a very long time because Final Fantasy 14 continues to be the best Final Fantasy story in years.
What about you, Brandon?
Well, amongst other things, my primary for this last week has been Kingdom Hearts 3. And this is the part where I kind of wish Chris was here because he can help fleshes out. But needless to say, even with all the Kingdom Hearts gibberish that goes with it, it's a really good game. It's a lot of fun. It's the graphics are gorgeous. I was legitimately afraid before this game came out that the fact that this game has basically been under development for, God, like 10 years now,
Something like that, yeah.
that there was going to be too many artifacts and stuff of like the whole development process, but apparently they got enough budgeting and good enough programmers that you would never know it.
Well, I think, frankly, they redid the assets like three or four times during the entire
I
process of
actually
the
wouldn't be surprised if they just completely redid the whole game at least twice,
Yeah.
because
Because it switched generations, I think.
but yeah, so right now I'm in the part of the game called the Toy Box section, which is literally the Toy Story universe.
Yeah.
And what I love is before you start the Toy Story universe, there's this commercial for what looks like a game. And I'm trying to remember what it's called. But what I do know is Barum Rex, that's what it's called. And the reason I loved it was because if you look really closely, you can see that this is basically just them redoing Final Fantasy Versus 13.
Okay.
But with like a different sort of overall, sort of a bit more of a sci-fi polish to it.
Okay.
And it also has some small references to Kingdom Hearts too, because like the party that's in the commercial is also like a defense and a magician as well. So much like how you've got the main trio in the game. But basically what happens is when you enter into the Toy Story world, the lead character, the character that supposedly you play in Verum Rex, is a guy named Yozora. And when you go in there, because the commercial that they're watching is on the TV in Andy's room, and it's the T-Rex and Ham, the piggy bank, and they're watching it on the TV. And apparently the T-Rex has been playing it for a while, so when Sora and his gang show up in the game, he thinks it's Yozora. Or like a Yozora action figure or something. That
Mistaken identity.
Apparently one of the big bosses in Verum Rex is Bahamut.
Yeah,
Did I
that's.
mention that? So like one of the fun things about the Toy Story part of the game is that it's the first time when you can actually start piloting giant robots. Well, I mean, I say giant robots relative to them.
Yeah.
They're basically just models, but and one of the big monsters you go into are plastic Bahamut figures.
Okay.
Basically, what happens is after you leave Andy's house, you go to the toy store, which is basically, let's just say it's very much, even though it's all in English and everything, it's very much a Japanese style toy store.
Yeah.
It's multi-tiered, and there's lots of like novelty stuff everywhere. One of the mid bosses that you fight is a possessed lolly doll.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun game. It's a lot of fun. They always find some way to add new stuff to it. But that's what I'm doing right now. When Chris comes in, he'll probably add
Have a
some
bit more
more.
to say, yeah.
But other than that, I've also been playing Lisa, Painful RPG, on my computer. I talked about this Friday, but basically, it's like a really depressing post-apocalyptic version of Earthbound, where this huge disaster has happened that has basically left this whole place in a barren wasteland and wiped out all of the women in the world. And you play this guy named Brad Armstrong who finds a baby just lying out in the middle of the desert, and he brings it home. He finds out it's a girl, and once word gets out, and as she grows up, he basically has to protect her and hide her identity. And then at some point, the word actually gets out, and they break into his home. They kidnap his daughter, and they kill his roommates. And it's one of those games where everything from like the it's like it's got like some really like pitch tar black humor, but overall, it's basically meant to emphasize just how brutal and depressing the world is. Things that happen in this game, including, because you obviously he's not by himself. He can sort of gather a party as he goes along in the game. And amongst the things that'll happen is every so often you will encounter this guy named Buzz, who basically runs a drug ring that controls this the distribution of this drug called Joy, which is this little blue pill that basically makes you feel nothing. Because in this universe, that's actually a plus.
I could use some of that, actually.
And actually, if you take it during battle, it makes you super strong, but it also leads to withdrawal symptoms. But the thing is, every so often, apparently this dude Buzz has some kind of grudge against you, and him and his gang will occasionally come and capture you. And when they find you, they basically will give you a choice. And usually it can be things like, we'll take all of your items, or we kill one of the guys in your party. But it'll also later on it'll get things like either we kill one of the guys in your party or we chop off one of your limbs. And if you lose your limbs, it's a permanent, downgrade on your abilities. And then there's later things where you end up with this crazy guy, this crazy gang of guys who basically have a gambling ring, and the game in the gambling ring is Russian roulette. And you basically have to gamble three of your party members up against these guys for a total of three games. And if you win three of them, you walk away with a bunch of currency. If you don't, you're out one or two guys permanently.
Yes, guessing, yeah, there is permadeath in this.
But really, like, the big for me this weekend was I did finally get to play the Anthem demo. And I loved it. It is
Really?
absolutely fantastic. I love just about everything about it. I love the fact that you don't have to talk to anyone. Like, I know it's basically like a group shooter, but much like with Final Fantasy 14, you don't have to talk to anybody.
How do they handle like interactions? Do you have like emotes or stuff like that, or
Yeah, you got emotes.
yeah.
But also it's because they give you sort of like location, like decals and stuff, symbol stuff to let you know which direction everyone needs to go to for the objective,
Okay.
stuff like that. Yeah, so like basically every so like all the stuff that you do gameplay wise is in a javelin, which is, the Iron Man suits.
Right.
And there's basically three or three, I think there might be four classes of javelins, all of them, but like one of them is mostly focused on speed, another is warrior class, mostly focused on like balance, defense, and offense. And then there's like the bigger ones, which are like slower but more powerful and more thickly armored.
Yeah. All of them can fly, though.
Oh yeah, all of them can fly, and the flying especially is a lot of fun because it's very easy to start. Basically, you just have to be in the air and just like for me for the PS4, it was just clicking L3, so. and you're flying. The only drawback is that, and this is the demo. This might not necessarily be the case for the regular game, but although you can fly, the thing is that the exhaust will overheat. So you can't fly in perpetuum. Eventually, you do have to.
Come down.
Yeah. The good thing, though, is that you also have a double jump. So, and your jump is pretty high in and of itself. And there's definitely unlike, say, Destiny, where everything is just flat battleground, there are a lot of cliffs and crags and rivers and caves and bridges and all kinds of stuff to get around and explore on. It's a lot of fun.
How much of the game was there?
Well, the actual stuff that was developed for the demo was you had one main objective. That was the like as far as like plot goes, you had that one. Then there was a, I can't remember what they're called. I think they're called like a fortress thing or something, called the Tyrant Mine, which is like a big, invading like a sanctuary type. And then there was a free play mode, which is where, in free play, you can do by yourself, where it gives you a couple of places where you can launch off of. Sort of like so not all of these you're not all of them are got so that you have to start at one end and then like fly and trudge like miles and miles of land. They've got like places where you can just automatically warp to when you start. But as for everything else, there's also Fort Tarsus, which is where all the main story stuff happens. And the I get the sense from what I had that Fort Tarsus is much larger than the parts you can access in the demo because there were parts of it that were closed off. But so like all the stuff in Fort Tarsus is all in first person. And I gotta admit, I really loved being in Fort Tarsus because of how neat and detailed it is. It has, because like everyone in Fort Tarsus has this sort of vaguely oriental sort of Arabic kind of open marketplace kind of vibe to it. There's lots of people, lots of, everyone's kind of fairly dark skinned because of, where you're living at. There's everything kind of looks like an open marketplace. There's all these different, corridors and alleyways and stuff you can duck into and find stuff for the codex. It is a lot of fun. It's really fun. I had a blast of time just wandering around Fort Tarsus, just looking around because it's a very alive. Like there's a lot of stuff going on around you as you're in there. I've been told that apparently you will be able to customize the look of your actual player character, because you do actually see some of your player character during the game. It's, they're not completely hidden either behind the first person camera or in the javelin. You do actually see them. But in this game, you could only pick if you had a male or female voice. The demo, anyway. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. And I'm reasonably excited. So,
I got 3 weeks to wait until you play it.
yeah.
That's gonna be hell.
Yeah.
It looks.
I don't think I'm going to be able to play it tonight either, because I'm pretty sure the thing ends at 9 p.m. So. And that's Pacific, so.
Well, that's 9 Pacific. Yeah, that's midnight here, so you probably have time.
Yeah. All right. So that's what I've been doing.
All right. So until Chris gets here, we'll get on to the stories. And yes, Pat, let's start with the Final Fantasy XIV FanFest in
Oh man.
the
So first off, we'll just come right out with it. Shadowbringers has a launch date, July
EU. Okay.
2nd. That was introduced to us in the extended trailer that they showed, which included new scenes involving Uriange and Ystola, as well as an extended scene with Thancred from the first trailer. In addition to the July 2nd launch date, pre-orders start Wednesday. And if you pre-order the game, you get early access on June 28th. So about a full week head start there. The Gunblade class has been named. A lot of people thought it was going to be Commando because that was Lightning's class in Lightning's native class in Final Fantasy 13 as a Gunblade user. It's not that, it's called Gunbreaker. And it's a tank. So that was a little bit surprising to me. We certainly could use more tanks in Final Fantasy 14, and I think this is a good way to promote that, because who doesn't fucking love Gunblades? And so hopefully that will even out the player base a little bit better. They didn't go into too much detail about how the class will work, but it definitely seems true to Final Fantasy VIII, where you can expand ammo to enhance attacks and for other abilities, which is also implied in the trailer, the extended one. And I highly recommend anyone who's even passingly interested in this expansion take a look at that.
It's interesting that Final Fantasy VIII classes are getting some love here.
Well, this has always been more or less the amalgamate Final Fantasy world. Like, if you, in fact, in the game, they even refer to it as the Source world. And so it makes sense that it's going to have elements from all throughout the series within it to varying degrees. I think there are still a few arcs that they need to introduce some games from, but considering Ivalice is actually a geographical location in Hydaelyn, that's the kind of scope we're dealing with. So it's not so much that they just happen to pick eight as what we're going to do this time. In context, it's kind of like it's just always been there, and now we're getting around to exploring that aspect of the world. And so it's going to start at level 60, and you have to have a level 60 job to unlock it. And the opening quest to unlock it will be in Gridania. So that puts a tank class in all three of the principal cities now, which is interesting because up until now only Limsa-Lamensa and Ul'dah had had tank guilds. So, and then Dark Knight was something else entirely, but I'm not going to spoil that for anybody. It's just a really good quest line. They did talk about the new 24-man raid, which is even more ambitious than the Ivalice stuff that they've been doing in Stormblood. The 24-man content is going to be called Yorha Dark Apocalypse, and as you can guess from the name, it is Nier Automata based, and it is being headed up by Yosuke Saito and Yoko Taro, who were on hand at the fan festival, and very much Yoko Taro was Yoko Taro. He said, I was promised a delicious meal in Paris if I came here and talked about the new raids, so I figured why not?
Yeah. Yoko Taro, be Yoko Taro.
Yep. We wouldn't really have it any other way.
Right.
Nope.
But, by all accounts, this looks to be an expansion's worth of Nier Automata content. So, how it ended up in Final Fantasy XIV, I mean, Yoshida joked about how people were joking about him calling in his friends for all of the collaboration content. But I think it's going well. And I look forward to seeing what they do with this, because if it's anything like the Evil-E stuff, then it's going to be absolutely massive. Like I said, it's going to be an expansion's worth of content.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with that and how they manage to make it mesh with Eorzea and Hydaelyn. So that will be interesting to see. They also confirmed that the Viera will be the new race coming in Shadowbringers. And we didn't get too much of a look at them, but they're definitely different from what you saw in Final Fantasy XII. So your mileage may vary on whether that's a good thing or not. People have had opinions online already. So,
yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. One thing that didn't make it into the keynote was the Final Fantasy XV collaboration, which they've already done the Final Fantasy XV side of it. Like, there's been the 14 content in 15 where you had the Final Fantasy 14 Garuda fight, and they're going to be doing the inverse of that here with the Final Fantasy 15 Garuda being a boss fight in 14. So that should be interesting. And then most notably, at least as far as I'm concerned, the Regalia is being added, not as Mog Station, like premium content or anything that you have to buy, but it's going to be quest content. And it's going to be the first four-seater mount in the game. So,
will it break down every 3 miles? That's what we need to know.
Maybe that's part of the quest. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, from the looks of it, it seems like your typical flying mount, except that it seats four.
Yeah.
Which will be kind of cool in and of itself, because we've had two-seater mounts, but no fours as of yet. But other than that, the next information is going to be coming at the Japanese Fan Festival toward the end of March, and honestly, it looks like we're going to be getting that before we get the part two of 4.5. So it will be interesting to see how they handle that. They must be really keeping something under wraps for part two there.
Yeah.
If they don't even want to reveal anything of it at the Japanese Fan Festival. So I'm expecting part two of 4.5 to be a wham episode, if you will.
Yeah.
So there's other stuff I could go into, the Hydatos raid, but that would be at risk of turning this just into the Final Fantasy 14 cast. And you know, all of that news is out there if you want to look for it. But honestly, I do have one other thing that I'll be talking about at the bottom of the show, but there has, I would say, never been a better time to get into Final Fantasy 14 than right now.
And it feels like these expansions feel like they're getting bigger as they go on. Heaven's Ward was pretty massive.
Yeah.
And then Stormblood seemed to be even bigger.
Yep. Yeah.
And now Shadowbringers looks like it's going like full on, just packed with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. I still suspect that we're going to be visiting the other worlds in this one because Yoshida hasn't been willing to talk about where these new zones that we're going to be going to are actually located. Whereas with Heavensward, we knew we were going to Ishgard and Dravania. We knew with Stormblood we were going to Alamigo and Othard. We have names for the new locations. I don't have them in front of me right now. But they've been really secretive about where exactly they're going to be taking the storyline, which leads me to believe that we're going to be visiting other worlds.
Yeah, stay tuned. Question is, did you pre-order?
I'm going to. I mean,
Okay.
pre-orders don't start until Wednesday.
Okay. All right,
And I get
so
paid Thursday, so
yeah, so plenty of time.
there is going to be one of those take my money kind of situations because, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's one of the best games I've ever played, and it's only getting better.
All right, so before we move on to the rest of the news of the show, I want to say hi, Chris. He's here.
Hey, hi.
Hey.
And I'm Chris Lodi. Just cut that
All
in.
right. It's a long ass intro for being
That's the
there.
late intro.
Yeah.
Late title card.
Yeah. Before we get to the story, is there anything you wanted to that you playing that you wanna talk about? Maybe add a little bit more on Kingdom Hearts 3 or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I've gotten to the Toy Story world.
Like I did.
Yeah. And it was nice because they stopped the anime there. Because that Twilight Town, where they get to, they kind of go to a point where it's like, okay, you just Matrix the anime now. Like you're gonna go through the computers, which Sora has a good line where he's like, "I don't do computers, so go do that."
Assault.
And then they introduce Ansem and Xemnas, and it's like, oh God, let's just get back to the
Names.
Disney parts of this, because
Yes.
and they unlock the game stuff there with the little phone game stuff, which is neat. I got the first one, which is the one with the giant, and that one's pretty easy for the most part. One times
Yeah.
I mess up is just losing patience, but yeah. I started messing with the custom gumdrop ship stuff, which I tried to make like an X-wing, and then when I started using it, I saw the fatal flaw, which is I put it sideways. And I don't think there's an easy way to rotate it. I think you have to do it all by hand again,
No.
which is not great. But it was fun driving poorly colored X-wing sideways and shooting. The guns weren't pointed the right way, but the shot still went the right way. So it made up for it, but or maybe I'll just leave it. I don't know. It's not. It's kind of like a Banjo-Kazooie nuts and bolts kind of style editor, but not as intuitive because I made the ship sideways and didn't know it. And yeah, like there's also like a tiny version of the ships you can make with like much less resources, which is much harder to make anything that looks neat. At least until I looked at the ones they give you, and it's like, oh, okay, they just didn't try to make it look like an actual ship. But they give you a couple like special looking ones. There's ones like looks like a almost like a Boo, with like a tongue out and all that. And then they give you like a beetle looking one, at least that I had. But that was that's been pretty good. I'm still looking forward to putting some more time into that, getting to the more into the Toy Story stuff. I just got to the point where I could explore the Andy's room, and found the one hidden Mickey that's in there. I do like they kind of call it that a little bit, mostly Lucky Emblems, but because there's no other meaning for hidden Mickeys.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever used that in any other context. But I've been playing more Phantasy Star. I got my full squad of four characters now,
mm-hmm.
and I am kicking some ass. I made a video in which I went to a big dungeon, one that kind of tricks you at first, because there's lots of the points in there that where you just drop to the four below.
Mm.
And so I've had to fall all the way down four floors, I think, and work my way up. And then ended up falling again because I wasn't paying attention to the map the way I should have.
Hmm.
And that's how I left the video. It's like, I'll figure it out. Then I ended up having like 15,000 gold when I got out of it. So I was like, okay, I'm set for a while. went over to the next planet and got diamond armor. And yeah, I really like that they give you like the list of all the items and spells and such. So you can know, like, oh, is this actually better or not? Because they don't tell you any of that in the game. Yeah. Like, the only thing they could do to be a little bit more newbie-friendly is give you, like, a map that you can easily know, like, when they say, you know, go to this town. Like, okay, wait, which town is that? Because they don't tell you, like, when you get in, like, this is Scion or this is, you know, whatever. So there's a couple times where I was like, okay, they mentioned go to this town. Which town is that?
Hmm.
I had to go wander around a little bit, but otherwise it wasn't too bad. The thing I do hate are the spiders. Fuck those. Because they constantly shoot webs at you, and until you get more people in your party, they are a pain in the ass to fight.
Because
it constantly ties you up, so you can't do anything until you just reach whatever magical point they say, okay, you can cut this. And then they cut you again. It's like, God damn it. So I just try and run whenever I could. But now I got four party members. They're not too bad. But yeah, that's been great. And I'm looking forward to put more time into that. I assume it's not too long. It's probably like, what, 15, 20 hours?
Originally? Yeah, about that.
Yeah, because I figure I'm at a point where I've essentially overgrinded. I think I was just because I wanted to, especially when I was dealing with, because now they have a full party. I get a lot of enemies that are, you know, up to four or five that I'm facing. So it's like, okay, I better just grind up a little bit more, especially it didn't really help that the dungeon kind of forced me into it.
Yeah.
When you get kind of stuck in a dungeon, it's like, okay, I'll just grind because I didn't really have anything else I could do, and you know what? It's kind of fun to do the battles.
Yeah.
Because you can definitely tell they released after Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy, because they don't fall into the same issues that like those games had early on, where if you attacked an enemy and it got killed by another character, you don't just attack the empty spot. Yeah. Here they don't let you even pick which one you want to attack, which that's the only annoyance I have with the battle system. But having four characters now, that's a little bit less of an issue. I have the gun on the Odin. Mm. So he just does a little bit of damage on each one.
Yeah.
Which when it's like one or two characters, that's not really useful. But when it's four or five, it's like, okay, it starts adding up a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just doing a lot of grinding early on, and especially with the dungeons that I had a lot of money. So I had everybody with like tit swords and all that stuff. I love the abbreviations, the shit sword and the tit sword. And
I'm kind of surprised that made it in there, but
yeah, that's a plausible deniability shit. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely glad they have the translations and the menus. So you'd be like, okay, wait, what's shit sword supposed to be? Oh, short sword. Okay. I don't know why they didn't just do SRT sword.
Yeah.
I do like the dungeon drop, the dungeon key.
Yeah.
For dungeon. They didn't. I don't like that they just ignored dung. I would have liked dung key. Because that would have fit really well. Yeah. With the shit sword and the tit sword and all that.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's been really nice. And I also played Pool Panic. I mentioned I bought that the other day. And that is a really ridiculous, silly game. So you're essentially playing a pool cue, or not a, a cue ball in a pool style game. And it's kind of a little bit Rick and Morty kind of style to it. Not really any sort of story. I don't think there's any story other than you're just this weird cue ball that you go into each level and you're trying to knock all the other balls into the holes. And they do a lot of weird shit with that. There's one I did where there's a bus of more balls coming in. I just come into it. It was like a campground parking lot kind of situation. But when the bus comes in, there's another obstacle blocking you from some of the holes. I had one. I thought I had one hit that was going to knock them between the two buses that came in. I was like, "Oh shit!" But it came out the other side a little bit, so I could. And then, like each of the stages has like four like trophies you're trying to get. Essentially, if you're trying to max out your time with it, there's one for time. There's one for just getting all the balls into the holes. 'Cause some of the stages you can just leave before you're done. There are one for getting everything in a certain amount of shots. I think the last one is for not scratching yourself or hitting the eight ball in before it's too early. And some of the different types of the balls are just assholes. I think the orange ball moves out of the way if you directly try to hit him. So you have to knock another ball into him. I think there's one of the dark colored balls. I forget which number it is. If you get too close, it'll just do like a ground pound, and so it'll knock balls out of the way around you. Or, and that's like where I've gotten myself scratched a lot, is just getting too close to him. So you kind of have to wait for them to stay get like a distance from them, then you can hit them fine. Because otherwise, if you get too close when you try and hit him, he'll do the ground pound and just fuck it all up. And yeah, like a lot of the courses I've seen so far have been just outside of like the first couple that are pretty straightforward. It's like, what's the trick here? What's the thing you're doing to try and fuck me up? There's one that has like extra holes around, but there's like big stone like things in them. So if you knock a ball into it, it might knock it out and open up another hole for you to use. But yeah, it's a really silly and fun kind of game. And it comes from Adult Swim games, so it definitely fits their brand of weird stupidity kind of thing. And that's been a lot of fun. And I also played the Anthem beta. I played it last weekend at the very end. And well, the problems with the beta definitely hit me as far as like the load times. It just stopped loading at a certain point. Which the way I found out around it is you just do the free play mission instead of trying to do the story missions, because it seemed like the story missions were bugged even up to the end of the first weekend. So I just did the free play where you just get to go explore the map a little bit and do some of the like public event stuff that happens. And like the problem with that, the whole beta is you don't play from the beginning. You're kind of like a level 10, so you got some skills and all that, and you have none of the knowledge you would normally gain when you get to that point. So I am like exploring, I'm like, why, what is this that's going on? Like at the point it's like just a bunch of enemies streaming into the map. And I'm killing a bunch, but I'm also getting my ass kicked because there's nobody else around because nobody's just happens to be in this spot on whatever server I'm on at that instance that I'm on. And so I'm just killing a bunch of them. I don't really see any end. Like it's telling me like just kill them all. And it's like okay, but more just keep spawning. And I'm like I don't see what the end of this is. But you know, playing it works out pretty well. It's pretty fun to control. The shooting isn't great, but that might also just be the default one they start you with on the beta was not one that fits well for me. It'd be like if I played Destiny beta and I was not on my Warlock. Warlock's the class that I prefer. I was on the other ones, like, it'd probably feel pretty good, but I probably wouldn't feel as comfortable. And I didn't get a chance to try out the others because it was like the last couple hours.
Yeah.
I did do a couple of public events and actually completed them. Like, one person came by to help out on one of them, but it definitely seemed like people are probably, if they were able to get, like, the story missions, they're probably focusing on that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're, like, little tower equivalents where you're getting all, like, the story and getting your setup and all that done. It was just so slow to move around in a way that just felt like they, I don't know. It just did not feel like it was tested well. Because I think they, for this weekend, they've upped the speed on that. So you can actually get around more quickly. Because it felt like if I was playing like Gone Home, like that kind of speed, it's like that works well for Gone Home because you kind of want to explore every nook and cranny of the house. But here, there's not a ton to do, especially in the beta, because there was a lot of people I would go talk to and it's like, this content's not available. please play the full game.
Yeah.
When I was like talking to a person, like, okay, this person's not a beta person, I guess. He's
advertising the game.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what this person is doing that's so out of bounds for what they're doing right here, but okay. But yeah, I've seen some of the story stuff from other people have played it, and there's some neat stuff there. There's a one of the guys you go to get a quest from, he essentially figures out that you can use this like technology that nobody's really figured out. And it ends up splitting him into three people, like three parts of his personality. In a really really neat way that kind of seems like a little bit of like what's the alien doctor that's that was in Mass Effect? Mortis? The guy who talked really fast. He's from 2 and 3, I think.
Yeah, didn't play Mass Effect, so didn't tell you.
But yeah, that guy definitely reminds me of that kind of character. The guy who's super smart, he's willing to do weird shit that may not be the smartest thing to do. And it has really interesting side effects. But that character I'm looking forward to seeing some in the game because he seems like he was the one I could talk to in the game, in the demos. But yeah, I'm curious to try it out some more today. See if they opened up more for this version, for this weekend or not. But yeah, that looks interesting.
Yep.
It was weird seeing them put out the whole thing. Like, hey, when can you play this? Depending on what service you're subscribed to or what version you buy, there's a variety of ways. Because I think the 15th is the first day you can try it out.
Yeah.
And it's like if you're Origin Access Premier, you can start playing the whole thing. And for whatever reason, they haven't brought that to Xbox One for EA Access. So those people can just play a 10-hour sample of it, or whatever they're allowing them to play of that. And then everybody can jump in the following week. It's like, okay, this it's still weird that you don't have like EA Access Premier, considering that that thing is only like $30 for a year on Xbox One.
Yeah.
So I'd maybe be willing to put $60 down if that was for if I could just get to play, you know, Madden, Anthem, and that stuff. Full games from day one.
Yeah.
Maybe Microsoft stepped in and was like, no, we want to be the ones that have the games day one.
Yeah.
You guys can't do that because then people might not pay for us. I don't know. I was wondering, did you talk about the cloud storage stuff for the PS Plus thing?
Yeah.
We did, briefly.
Okay. That's definitely a big thing for me because I'm sitting here with 17 gigs of saves. That are not getting all uploaded.
How? Yeah,
backed up. What's that?
How?
Sports games. Racing games. LBP3 is like 600 gigs or 600 meg file.
Okay, you were right, Phil.
Use the created content.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is a 600 meg file. I don't know why.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Because you're not really making anything, at least not until like 7 or 8 hours in. Once you get to the ship stuff. Yeah, there are lots of save files. I think I made a list somewhere of how big they could be. Yeah, let me see if I can find that list I have of my
I know
files.
Skyrim gets bigger every time you save, so.
Yeah, let's see. I found it. 671 megs for Kingdom Hearts 3. Rocket League for me is 105. Switchblade 197, which I just started up as a free to play game. Tetris Effect is 98 megs. Fallout 4 is 246. Detroit Become Humans 237. NBA 2K The Prelude, that little demo version, is 118 megs. I think 2K19 is also the same size. Trackmania Turbo is 197. NBA 2K16 is 352. Horizon Zero Dawn is 119. Portal Knights is 269. Everybody's Golf is 134. Minecraft's 256. I even have some beta stuff on here, like Gran Turismo Sport beta took 249 megs. I don't have that uploading as for that stuff, but yeah, LVB3 is 584. Witcher 3 is 111. Tearaway Unfolded is 315. Mass Effect is 105. Final Fantasy 15 is 629. Gravity Rush 2 is 672. Drive Club is 325. And I have Drive Club VR, which is the same size as well. Deus Ex is 115. Disney Infinity 3.0 is 325. And I have none on Galaxy 126. Like, that's like 8 gigs worth of files right there.
That's weird.
I don't know why these files are so damn huge, especially for, like, I don't understand it for games where you can have multiple saves, like Fallout, Hitman
like
2.
Like Tetris Effect, it's like, huh? What's
yeah, why
98 meg file?
Like all those numbers should be stored on the servers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's just either stats and like whether you've unlocked an achievement or not.
Yeah, and that stuff shouldn't be that big.
Yeah.
I assume it must be just the developers aren't thinking about that.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot that. Because I remember, like, the big thing when the PS4 came out, a lot of save files were like 10 megs at minimum. Yeah. And you had 1 gig. So that's 100 games.
Yeah.
That's not counting if you were playing, like, an NBA 2K that was, like, 300 megs to use up all your space, like, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think they eventually got the minimum down to like three megs, which is better. And then they also increased it to 10 gigs. And so this 100 gigs is definitely for me. Because I have like 17 gigs taken up. I don't have to worry about it for a very long time.
Yeah. And storage is cheap. So
yeah,
it's about time that they did it. So
yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the rest of the news of the week, and we'll start with one that irritates me right now. So Metro Exodus has gone to the Epic Store 2 weeks before it's released.
Yep.
Well, technically, yeah. Actually, it releases, I think, next week, but anyway, this news came out a little while ago. So yeah, it's going to the Epic Store, and people are a little bit irritated because it's a timed exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Time exclusive on PC.
Time exclusive on PC.
And
there's no real choice.
And the dick move is doing this 2 weeks before launch after having it available for pre-order for probably about a year or so.
Yeah.
And so, and when they announced this, they did not pull it from the Steam store right away.
Nope.
So it was the number one selling Steam game the day they announced this.
Yeah.
So ultimately, it probably was a really great move on Deep Silver's part, because it caused a lot of people to go buy it now. So they knew they were not going to be able to buy it until next year on Steam.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is there's like four companies involved with this on the publisher-developer side, and two of them knew about it ahead of time.
Yeah.
The developers
neither of them
know.
Were the publishers.
The developer did not know about it. Deep Silver knew about it. THQ Nordic, the publisher, did not know about it because they're not making the decisions, and there's THQ Nordic, the overall holding company.
Yeah.
They knew about it.
And then there was the IP holder, Koch Media, which is apparently who this decision was made by.
Yeah.
So
I think the developers are like, wait, what? Because they were still updating the Steam, like, doing marketing stuff, uploading trailers and that to it. And it's like, yeah, you should probably stop.
Yeah, it's like I'm okay with developers going ahead and, you know, using alternate stores and announcing that ahead of time, but 2 weeks before launch, no.
Yeah.
Just no.
And like this kind of falls under the thing that I don't like with this sort of stuff is this is what Microsoft did with Rise of the Tomb Raider, where it's like you already announced this for these platforms, and making any deals where it takes that away is a dick move. And it's the wrong way to go because it only serves to anger the people that you're trying to get to buy your game.
Yeah.
As we saw,
exclusivity doesn't do anything for consumers, really. This is just for the publishers and the developers' bottom lines. It's kind of anti-consumer, really.
Yeah.
At least
the thing is this was never going to affect me anyway because I play it on PS4.
Right.
Yeah. Console people have no issues. They don't get anything changes for them.
Yeah. It's like the developers go and say, yeah, well, if you don't buy it on PC, and then if it doesn't sell well on PC, well, then maybe the next one we don't make on PC. So it's like, oh, now you're going to do that asshole move too. Mm-hmm. So
it's like, oh, you created this whole issue.
Yeah.
Like, don't put this on the people for you deciding at the last minute, like, oh, we're not putting this on the biggest platform.
Yeah.
Because of whatever reason. I don't even know. They probably put out reasons, and it probably isn't really explained much of it.
No, not really. There's just a lot of developer rambling, it looks like. So.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, the developers of the game were like, oh, fuck.
God damn it.
Yeah, and it's like, at the very least, they should have just released it at the same time on Epic Game Store. Like,
yeah,
that would have been the thing that would have been best for everybody. It's like, hey, we're also on Epic Game Store.
Yeah.
Maybe at a cheaper price or something like that, but that's at best. But, yeah, like, there's, I think, Zen Studios, one of their new games they announced for Epic Game Store, Operencia, The Stolen Sun.
Yeah.
It's like that dungeon crawler they announced about a month ago or so. And so it's weirdly double exclusive. They announced that it was only coming to Xbox One. So it's not multi-platform on consoles. And it's only coming to Epic Game Store and I guess Windows Store.
Yeah. But
that's not really a platform on PC that anybody really cares about. It's the Epic Game Store that they're basically being exclusive to. And it's like, oh, that's weird. Double exclusive. You're exclusive on consoles, and you're exclusively pretty much on one store on PC. It's like, that's weird.
Yeah. So another launcher to install. And yeah, I think that's the biggest complaint about most people have is just, we got too many of these now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
But I have, I think, seven.
Mm.
Like, I'm fine with it. Like, three or four of them I don't really use ever, unless I have the itching to play whatever's on there.
Yeah.
I just wish, like, Steam is supposed to allow you to essentially attach, like, shortcuts to them to launch through Steam, but it never really works. I don't know why. I was trying to do that for one of the Twitch games, I think The Messenger. It would just not do anything at the menus, the main menu. Yeah. It would just not let me do anything. I had to quit out and just launch it on its own. Because I was hoping, like, maybe that would be how I get around the controller issue.
Nope.
Then I just updated DS4 Windows, and I was like, all right, I'll just do this. Not really worry about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, don't sit here and do this shit, you know, weeks before launch. Like, because I think they're also printing out, like, physical versions for the PC, not discs, but with codes. It's like,
yeah, and those are all Steam.
Quote unquote, like, physical versions.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a dick move. Yes.
It's like, now you're pissing off your production factory as well as your developer. Luckily, they own them, so
Yeah.
they can't really
Not
do
much they
much
can
about
do. Nope.
it. Yeah, it was an independent studio. I was like, oh, well, goodbye ever working with them again.
Yep. All right, so let's move on. There's a Groundhog's Day sequel coming to PSVR, and that looks like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, this is the weirdest announcement to get yesterday. But yeah, it's from Tequila Works, who's also made a couple games that kind of roll out around the time loop stuff. The Sexy Brutale. And I forget what the other game is they made. They made another one that has a similar kind of aspect to it, so they definitely made VR stuff too, so this definitely seems like something that's gonna be right up their wheelhouse. And it features Phil Connors Jr.
Who's like stuck in like the worst day ever, according to him. It's an interesting interactive experience, it looks like. I'm not sure that I would quite call it a game, but it looks very
Imagine
interesting.
it'll be an adventure game.
It's quite fun.
We'll see how dark it gets. Because
The original movie did get kind of dark.
I was
It
watching
did.
that a bunch yesterday, and it's like, yeah, this is. I'm curious to see how dark they can get.
Well, VR is a good, medium to do that. I gotta stop saying interesting.
Well, it's a word with so many different connotations to it.
Yeah, you can use it ironically, or you can use it literally, or it's
I saw a lot of people just being shitty about this announcement. It's like, if you don't want it, you don't have to deal with it. Like, what? Just move on.
We're gamers, we're
Well, there's
you
even
gotta
people that
that.
were like the media is like, really? You're making shitty movie knockoffs for VR now? It's like, who knows? It's shitty. Developers have done good work. Like, don't sit here and presume to know what the quality is just because it's tied to it. To a license that is beloved, I'd say.
All right, so next up we got actually this is kind of cool. There's another humble indie PS4 bundle. The first PS4 bundle was THQ, and now we
There's been a
got
few. There was a Capcom one.
there was a Capcom one, which I don't no I didn't get that one.
I think I got it. So I own like one Resident Evil game and one Dead Rising game on
I
there.
don't know where they came from. But this one's pretty cool. It's mostly indie games. Actually, it's entirely indie games. And we
Yeah,
got.
the $1 tier has Grim Fandango Remastered. That should be PS4 Vita cross-buy. There's The Bard's Tale Remastered and Resnarkled.
Yeah.
I think that's what the full title is. That should also be PS4 and Vita. There's Innerspace. That's the other $1 tier. So those are good games. The Beat the Average has Layers of Fear. Sure, scary game. Wasteland 2 Director's Cut.
Good one.
The Talos Principle, which is great.
Very good game.
And Broken Age, which is also PS4 and Vita. That's a good one. And for $15, you can also get Killing Floor 2, which is pretty good. And Shadow Warrior 2, which is a game I've heard some neat stuff about. They have loot in that. It's like a loot RPG, whereas the original was kind of just a straight shooter. And I think if you, let's see, with the $1 tier, you also get the soundtracks for Grim Fandango Remastered and Innerspace. And for the Beat the Average, you get Layers of Fear soundtrack and Broken Age's soundtrack with it as well.
$15, that's not a bad buy.
Yeah, I think the Shadow Warrior 2 itself is a $40 game.
Definitely a nice savings there. All right. So next up we got Nintendo announced what their next mobile game is, and it's Dr. Mario World.
I can see
Which
that working out
makes
on mobile.
total sense.
It is being made in conjunction with Line, who is a Japanese company. They make like one of the most popular messaging apps in Japan. I don't know too much about their game side of the business, but This is also not a complicated game.
Yeah.
I saw people be like looking at like game lines, other games, and it's like, yeah, but also Nintendo's involved. They're not gonna let them
Yeah.
just like put out shit. Most likely not.
No.
It'll probably at least okay.
Yeah. Well, they did Miitomo, but I think they've learned from that.
Yeah.
Because that didn't work at all.
Yeah, they're looking to put this out early summer 2019. Because I think they
Yeah.
just pushed the Mario Kart game to like late summer. So
Yeah.
this is likely to be the next game they have out.
Yeah, I like that they're not like just cramming them all into one like m 1 or 2 months. They seem to be staggering them out a bit.
Yeah.
Kind of what they do with their Switch and 3DS stuff. So apparently that model still works on mobile.
Yeah.
Whether what the microtransactions and all that stuff will be, we don't know. Can you really do too much in the way of microtransactions on a Dr. Mario game?
As long as they don't do the limited time bullshit. Like you
Yeah.
can play five games in the next
Oh,
30
Jesus
minutes.
Christ. Yes.
If you want to pay more, you give us $5 for five more hearts.
Grr. All right. Speaking of 3DS, we did get an announcement. Persona Q2 New Cinema Labyrinth is coming June 4th.
Yes.
So still getting some 3DS love in 2019.
Yeah. This has characters from Persona 3, 4, and 5. And I guess the whole conceit is that they're kind of drawn into movie-themed dungeons and such.
Yeah, was this one was there a question whether this one would even make it to the States, or was it kind of a foregone conclusion?
People,
Think it was a
well, it
choice.
should have been a foregone conclusion, but people were starting to get worried by Atlas's silence on it.
Yeah. But Atlus is gonna, they're the one company that doesn't really care about platforms too much.
Yeah.
As long as they have one that's somewhat active to put it on, they'll finish it up and get it out there
Yeah.
for the most part.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a
Unless the
$70.
platform holder's a dick and won't give him a production slot.
Yeah. But
Funny.
I think Atlus is big enough they aren't gonna be, told to stuff it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna have a $70 Showtime Premium Edition that includes an art book, playing cards, and some other neat stuff. The regular edition's $40. Includes protagonist-themed buttons.
Joy. Yeah, at least Atlas is still doing some nice collector's edition that are,
Yeah.
actually worth buying.
Yeah. Trying to see what this looks like. Oh, there's a plushie too. Of Kuromaru.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Get
It
the
would be him
complaint.
or Teddy.
If I got the Teddy blow up thing from what is it, Persona 4 Arena Ultimax. And that's been well worth it. It's still full on the one blow.
Show title. Okay,
Quality
so
goods.
yeah. So next up, we have an announcement from Respawn, but not really an announcement because they haven't actually said anything. So apparently, there's going to be a Titanfall Battle Royale game called Apex Legends, and it's probably coming out fairly soon.
Yep. Free
And
to play.
yep.
And that can be really cool. This
Yeah. can be really cool. That's the operative term there.
Yeah, because those games control really well.
Yeah.
Those are some of the best controlling
And
shooters out
maybe
there.
finally this will be the financial success the Titanfall franchise desperately needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, the last couple, I mean, they've been good, but EA kind of put them out there to die.
Yeah.
I actually saw somebody was saying from their source at Respawn that basically Respawn picked that date. They
Oh.
were confident they could do that date and do it really well.
Well, then they're idiots.
That
Yeah.
was a dumb idea.
Which they did have a really good game, probably the best one of the three that came out.
Yeah.
But obviously, they didn't have the big name
Yeah.
to stick with it.
Yeah.
Now it's a game that's on
Gameplay.
sale for $6 or $8 all the time.
Yeah. Battle Royale with Titans, though, gameplay-wise, that sounds like a recipe for complete chaos.
Yeah, it sounds like a clusterfuck.
And yeah, if they can make that work in just a fun fashion, that's probably going to have some real staying power. It could really give PUBG a run for its money. Maybe not Fortnite, but yeah, that's just a juggernaut at this point.
Yeah. But also, you don't need to
So,
be as big as Fortnite to be successful with it.
no, you don't.
Because I think H1Z1's doing pretty well. And that's the first time I've heard it mentioned in probably months.
But it is EA, and they're not content with some money.
Yeah.
They're only content with all of the money.
Yeah. EA doesn't really do well with their free-to-play stuff anyway. At least not on consoles and PC.
So they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So last story of the day, and this one's kind of interesting because it's about The Division 2. A game that's supposed to be kind of apolitical, but apparently not, because they sent out a very, very politically charged email to promote it.
Yeah, it was the subject line read, "Come see what a real government shutdown looks like in the private beta."
Yeah,
Jesus
Danrib got
Christ.
this, and it's like, what the actual fuck?
Yeah. And I think they sent one out pretty soon after. It was like, "Yeah, hello, a marketing email promoting Tom Clancy's The Division 2 was sent in error today. It was a great breakdown in process, and we apologize for this error in the offensive subject line of the email. We recognize the very real impact of the U.S. government shutdown on thousands of people and did not intend to make light of the situation." Oh, you kind of did.
You kind of did, and
I don't think
maybe.
this went out accidentally. This had to have gone
No,
through
it
a
did
bunch of
not.
hands. They're like, "Oh yeah, that's funny."
Clearly not enough hands.
No. So somebody really needed to be greenlighting that at the end. It's like before they click the send button. It's like, wait a minute. Should we really be making light of the fact that several million people are out of work right now and may not even get paid when the government shutdown does stop? Maybe that's not such a great idea.
I have to imagine they came up with that idea like early on, like the first couple of days, like, "Oh, this is gonna be over." And we'll just be like, "Yeah, we'll make fun of that little
Yeah, but
thing."
even then, it's like even if it was the first couple of days, you see it going on and on and on. You think maybe you should kind of reevaluate that.
Bad luck.
It's not great optics, as they say in the industry.
It was sort of like, I think somebody saw the Atlas USA account on Facebook. Somebody forgot to switch over to their personal account.
Oh no.
They quoted it was a story about Mitch McConnell from a few days ago. Basically just said, quoted and said, "What an ass."
Whoops.
They deleted and apologized. And it's
Well,
like,
they weren't wrong.
no.
No.
I guess the general response is like, "Well, they weren't wrong." But also, this is why I don't use Facebook in that sort of way. Because I can't be trusted to switch over.
Yeah, because it's very easy to get that wrong
Do
because
you
the only
forget which account
indication you
you're
have is
in?
a little icon.
Yeah. I
So
have trouble enough with that on YouTube.
yeah.
That's why our YouTube, our Smashpad YouTube, has just a lot of weird recommendations. It's just lots of like random shit people forgot to log out to watch.
All right, so finally let's get to our picks of the week and wrap up the show for the week. I'm going to go ahead and recommend the Retro Flag Megapie case. It's still on sale right now at tomtop.com. You can get it there. It is a Raspberry Pi case, custom built and built very well to look like a Japanese Mega Drive. Unlike a lot of these cases, this one's actually bigger than the Pi itself. So you got some space in there. You have room for a fan if you want to put one in there. Don't really need to, but you could if you want to. Plus, it has it routes the USB ports to the front, which is a very nice feature. Also has the ability to use the power and reset buttons as they were intended to be used. So yeah, those are like fully working. They plug into the GPIO pins of the Raspberry Pi. Got to install a script into your RetroPie configuration, but that's not hard to do. And then, yeah, you press the power button and it shuts down the Pi. And, well, slide the power button, because that's how detailed that is. So, and, yeah, the cool thing about that little case is the volume slider is actually an eject button, and it, like, pops open the top of it. And you can store, SD cards and stuff in where the cartridge slot would be.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a cool little feature, and I'm starting to see, like, I'm looking at RetroFlag's products here on their page, and they have some really nice ones. We've got a NES one that looks excellent. The Japanese Super Famicom one looks really nice. It's like, yeah, maybe I have to get these other ones too, because if they only do a PlayStation one, that would be really nice too.
Give it time.
Yeah. So what do you got, Pat?
I'm still on my Final Fantasy XIV kick, so I'm going to point out that Twitch Prime members are going to get Final Fantasy XIV base game, A Realm Reborn, and a month's free subscription with their Twitch Prime membership starting Monday. Ooh. So probably by the time you listen to this.
Can that be accessed cross-platform?
I'm pretty sure it's a PC version.
I mean, if I could, like, activate this to my Square Enix account, use it on PS4?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out a way to... Because I have Stormblood, I think. I was thinking at some point to use the 30-day on there. I'm trying to figure out a way to stack it.
No.
So. God damn it, not enough free stuff. Free time.
Yeah, I just went through and claimed all my Twitch stuff for the last month. So.
But when you do start it, go to Tonberry server. That's Teresa and I are there. It's open now, Brandon, so you can start a character there.
Yes. All right.
And
maybe I can make the character with the correct name because I misspelled it.
Yeah.
I forget what the character. I think it's a pun off of Ganondorf. Hmm. Not Ganondorf. Crap, the Lord of the Rings.
Gandalf.
Gandalf, yeah. Anyway. I gotta go Gandorf.
Gandorf.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Alright, so we got some sales going on. Well, eShop for Nintendo, they kind of do that every now and then, but they're usually never that great.
Yeah, this one actually has some pretty good stuff on sale. No Nintendo stuff. I think they call it the Weird and Wonderful sale. So it's a bunch of indie games, weird indie games. So I mentioned that I got Pool Panic. That is one of them. I think it's 509. But they got a bunch of stuff on here. Let's see. Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time is on sale. They got Musinks. It's a rhythm game. Let's see. Octodad is $5. That game just hit its 5-year anniversary. I saw a fun information graph from the developers, and they put at the bottom like a real fancy text, did not win any awards. It's like in that font for one game of the year or whatever sort of thing, but it's like did not win any major awards. That hit like 2 million sales. I think the PS4 has the biggest amount, with PC right behind it. That game is really fun, really stupid. Pool Panic, Rain World's on sale for $12. Reigns, King and Queens, that's $4. That's the choose your adventure kind of game.
Yep.
There's Rogue Aces. That is 510. That's a really good game.
Yep. Also, one of this month's PS Plus games for. Just a reminder.
Yeah, that game is really good. Let's see. Slayway Camp is $5. Snake Pass is $8. There's also a Nisa sale. So they got SNK Heroines, Tag Team Frenzies, $30.
Well, that came out, and we kind of forgot about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Probably for a good reason.
So,
one complete, and this guy have five complete. Those are $40 for one, $30 for five. Labyrinth of Refrain is $40. Ease 8 is $42. And they published a lot of stuff. It's not technically theirs.
Yeah.
There's Happy Birthdays is $30 on there. God Wars, Yomiwari, Toho Kabuto 5, Burst Battle, Toho Genso Wanderer Reloaded. There's RPG Maker Fez on the 3DS. It's 21. Cold Sept Revolt on the 3DS is 21. And that Rodea the Sky Soldier is $10 on Wii U or 3DS. Isn't that the game that was,
Yuji Naka.
yeah,
Yeah.
the weird game, like you can only get the Wii version that's supposed to be the good version through like a weird retail release for the game that I
Yeah,
assume is long out of stock unless you
good luck
buy it
finding it
used or
now.
something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here that is on sale. Got Some Glory for $7.50. Goners $6. Freedom Planet's $9.74. Flashback for $14. Don't Die, Mr. Robot is a game I really like. It's $2.69. That's a good like arcade game. Your Defense Grid 2 is on pre-order discount for $18.
Yeah, 10% off.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Crossing Souls is $7.49. Bleed 1 and 2 are $4 and $5 respectively. Oh, Bad North is on sale. I've been interested in that. That's like the RP, not RTS kind of game. Stylish one. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah.
If you're really cheap, there's some okay stuff for like $1.50.
Yeah.
As the Switch Shop often has. I'm trying to see if there's anything else here. Surgeon Simulator is $9 on the Switch. Flame in the Flood, $7.49. Let's see. Yeah, that's kind of it. World of Goo for $7.
Yeah, I think pretty much everybody's pleased.
Yeah, that's where
Yeah.
it was on the Switch. The only problem is it's motion control only.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Cool.
so if I want to play it, I have to do that instead of, I don't use normal controls.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do any of that stuff. But yeah, there's some good stuff there. On the PSN, I mentioned there was the PlayStation Essential sale last week that ends on
Yeah.
Tuesday. Along with that, they added a PlayStation Plus sale that is all PSVR stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff there. Astrobot Rescue Mission got its first sale for $32. That game is really good. Borderlands 2 VR got its first sale for $37.49. Let's see, there's a bunch of stuff here. It's the Dirt Rally PSVR bundle for $12. That's really quite good. See, Drive Club VR for $7.49 if you want to take up a lot of save space for a game that might
Yeah.
not do well for you. That's there. Counting Plus is $9.59. They added some weird shit and updates. I found a guy that is a fan of yours. He's
Yeah.
really creepy. He's like a giant dude. He's like a giant creepy fanboy. It was very weird.
I wonder if they're projecting.
I don't know. It was. I was happy to leave to get out of that part of the simulation. Hatsune Miku VR Future Live Season Pass is on sale for $20. There's Infinite Mini Golf, Keep Talking Nobody Explodes, Monsters of the
That one's
Deep,
worth it.
Final Fantasy 15. I was playing that pretty recently. It actually works pretty well. I think you just play with the regular controller, DualShock
Yeah.
4. So, let's see. Yeah, they got Pinball FX2 stuff in there.
Yep.
$7.49 for the base game. You can get the Season 1 pack for $12.49, the Walking Dead pack for $3, and the Universal Classics for $10. PlayStation VR Worlds is $4.49. That's a good one to get. Psychonauts and
Yeah.
the Rhombus of Ruins, $4. That one's also good to get. Raw Data is $20. I know they announced it was another Steam VR game, a Vive game, I forget what it was called. There were a couple that were just had weird names, like raw data. Like you don't get any idea of what that means.
Yeah.
I forget the other one. It was somewhere weirdly like, office business like name.
Yeah.
But I forget. It's coming out pretty soon. But yeah, Statics for $6. Rick and Morty, Riggs. There's some good stuff here. A few just picked up one over the holidays, and somehow haven't gotten enough games. There's a lot of good stuff here. The Thumper's $5. Don't
Yeah.
even need VR for that. But if you want to, you can inject it all into your eyes
Yeah.
for fairly cheap. Wipeout Omega Collection, $6.
Ooh, that's worth it.
Damn good price for that.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff here. People that have VRs and some stuff for people that don't.
Yep. And now I can take advantage of the PS Plus discounts because I'm
Yeah.
on PS Plus again. So, yay.
Yeah, they did something pretty cool recently. I think it's on PlayStation.com. They did like a year in review sort of thing for your account.
Yeah.
I think it said I saved about $450 in PS Plus discounts. It's like, yeah, that's why I spend the $60 a year. So I more than save that back in discounts. Then I don't have to worry about the free games. That's not the way I come to it. So I can buy the games and then get the other stuff. I think I said I had like 1,300 hours in games. I play like
Jesus.
250 games on my PS4.
That's a heavy PS4 user.
Yeah, I think it also tells you how many days out of the year, and I was like 340, 350 days out of the year.
So those so now it's like gamifying it. So like, can I play a game every day?
Yeah. And that was really, it was really cool to see the amount of stuff they had there that they're keeping track of for you. I just wish they
Still
kind of
not that
surfed it.
creepy.
No, Xbox does a similar thing, but it only counts January to October for some reason.
For some reason.
Huh.
And it's like that's not a whole year, and it's. And I was also trying to tell me I played like 40 hours of
That's
Forza Horizon.
arbitrary as fuck, is what that is.
That's them trying to get it out before the year ends. And it's like, no, I'd rather have the 12 months. Because 10 months doesn't say anything, especially when you release your bigger games at the end of the year.
At the end of the year. Yeah.
It's like, hey, how much Forza Horizon 4 did you play? Well, it's got it the first couple weeks. I was trying to tell me I played like 40 hours of it, and I looked on the dashboard and it's like, you played 25 hours. It's like, something's wrong here. But yeah, my number one game on PS4 was Clicker Heroes. It's like 81 hours of it. And I was like, yep, that sounds about right. That's a game I'd start up and just let sit for a little while. Like MLB The Show 18 was my number two, like 60 hours. And I think, trying to think what my third one was. It was Vostok Inc., which is a clicker style like shooter. Which you have to let it sit if you want to let it to do anything because it's not really an idle game. So I just let it sit and accrue money while I wasn't doing anything. That's how I get 60 hours in it.
Right, so let's wrap up the show. I want to remind everybody that you haven't, if you haven't subscribed to the show, you can do so via Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator of choice. And you can also check us out at smashpad.com, where we have some written content up there. We got our most anticipated stuff up there feature. Yeah, you can check that out. The number one is a kind of a surprise, to be honest. Apparently we're kind of stoked for it, so but I won't tell you what that is. I'll make you go there and see it for yourself. So yeah, with that, I have been Filippo Dinolfo for Patrick Mifflin, Brendan Perkins, and Chris Sologi. We'll see you next week.